You may. You may begin when ready.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honors. I am Glenn Berger, and I represent the appellate. This is a case kind of a first impression in Virginia. We have had laws that have been on our books for many, many years that reflect the morality of our society, and over the years we have seen many of those laws come off our books and change.
Mr. Berger, let me just make sure, because you made some arguments in the trial court that I don't think you're making on appeal. The only issue on appeal at this point is whether, after Lawrence, whether facially or as applied to your client, 18-2-361 is unconstitutional. There's no challenge that the elements of the offense weren't met.
That's correct. At least I didn't raise those issues before, Your Honors.
For the purposes of this appeal.
For this appeal, there is no question about that issue. So this is simply a question of the constitutionality of the statute.
As to your facial challenge.
Yes.
What would you have us do with the Virginia Supreme Court's decision in Toghill, which says pretty much that the statute is facially valid?
Well,
in fact, doesn't pretty much say that, it says it.
Well, I believe that as applied, it is not constitutional to my client.
Okay. But
and so I would concede. Well, I don't like to say the word concede because
it
comes back and get you, but I think the better argument that I have is, as applied in this case, the bestiality statute to consenting adults in the privacy of their own home is a regulation of their sexual conduct in that private space.
And that raises a lot, to me, a line from the Supreme Court's decision in Toghill, and it says that 18-2-361 is invalid to the extent its provisions apply to private, non-commercial, and consensual sodomy involving only adults. Seems to me you've got private, you've got non-commercial, you may even have consensual, although that's an interesting question regarding one of the three participants in the activity. How about only adults? The dog is there.
Right. Well, maybe it's an adult dog. It was not established that it was not an adult dog, but I don't mean to be glib. I do think that what was intended there by that, as opposed to minors, I think that what the the Toghill court was talking about is that the difference between minors and non-minors. And I think the McDonald case also dealt, the Court of Appeals case dealt with that issue, and that it is different with minors, and I don't suggest that the legislature cannot prohibit private conduct of a sexual nature in the privacy of your own home with a child. And I do believe that there's a protection there.
On its own terms, Lawrence doesn't reach animals. You're asking us essentially to extrapolate from Lawrence, but that makes it a classic substantive due process argument.
That's correct.
And to win a substantive due process challenge, the right involved must be, quote, so rooted in the traditions and conscience of our people as to be ranked as fundamental. Regarding bestiality, what is your evidence that that is rooted in the traditions and customs of our people as to be fundamental?
Well, it is what is fundamental is liberty, and what is fundamental is privacy. And it was never fundamental that homosexual acts would occur between people, or that even if you go back, that non-coital acts occur even between opposite sex. So, I mean, in Virginia, as you know, it was against the law for a married couple to have oral sex. And so we have changed the context a great deal as the law has attempted to catch up with the attitudes of people,
but given the
it is not necessary that society say that homosexuality or oral sex is okay. It is the privacy and the liberty of the individuals that the Lawrence case stood for. And it said, we're not here to say that we're branding morality and that we're making, if you don't follow our morality, it's a criminal offense. And what Lawrence stood for was that you can't criminalize the private sexual acts of consenting adults.
But, of course, that assumes that they're only consenting adults. There is a third being in this mix. And I guess my question is, have you found any court anywhere that has extended Lawrence to invalidate a bestiality statute?
I have not, but nor have I seen one that ruled the other way. So I don't believe that there is a case that deals with that.
I did find a case. Unfortunately, an unreported case out of the federal case, but it doesn't really address it on point. But I think the point of that is, I mean, we're not so naive to believe that this crime isn't prosecuted periodically throughout the Commonwealth or throughout the United States. It's been, 15 years or so since Lawrence. How can it be that if Lawrence invalidated bestiality statutes, we haven't seen something to that effect?
Well, Your Honor, there have been many cases that in retrospect we said, why didn't this get reversed before? Why did this sit here?
Perhaps because most people don't go hand the evidence to the police voluntarily.
Well, that's correct. So those sort of things don't cause these cases to come there. But there have been many decisions. The hearsay case that came out of Washington State, as a practicing lawyer, I did not see that coming. There have been many decisions that have caught the bar unawares. There was a case in this very jurisdiction that was an unreported case that came to this court in defining what bestiality meant, and it was not raised. And I believe that was in 2013. All lawyers, including myself, miss issues and fail to think of issues until it is confronted in some way that clicks and the lawyer says, this principle applies here. And it is, I would submit, a principle in this case that squarely applies, that this couple was in their own bedroom, in their own home, in the privacy of their own home, with their pet dog, who...
It's that part that changes the equation, though, doesn't it? If they were just a couple of consenting adults, I think Lawrence covers you. But there was more than that going on.
Well, if you're saying that this law is here to protect the dog, then I think that has to be the purpose of the legislature, to say we are somehow protecting dogs from conduct that is maybe a very natural conduct of a dog.
The statute doesn't have to list its purpose. The question is, can the General Assembly regulate in the area? And, of course, as I'm sure you're well aware, we have to begin this analysis with the presumption that whatever they decide to do is constitutional. It's a heavy burden to demonstrate it's not.
Well, I think once you get into a person's private bedroom and start regulating their sexual conduct, that's exactly what Lawrence struck down. And Lawrence struck down and said, it doesn't matter about its morality, it doesn't matter about how people feel about it or like it. This is their liberty and their privacy, and that liberty is their freedom to do that as long as it does not affect anyone else.
I've known you a long time. I don't ever remember you effectively quoting Scalia, because I think that was his argument in Lawrence. But he was in the dissent, and he didn't agree with the decision, but the alarm bells that he was raising, which are kind of in line with your argument, were not accepted by the majority. The majority did not go nearly that far.
Well, I appreciate the compliment comparing me to Scalia in any fashion, because he was certainly a brilliant man, even though, as you know, I often disagreed with what he wrote.
As you did.
But he was a brilliant person. And I do recognize that we are on new fronts as the law seeks to justify our laws and the effect of the government coming into spheres of our life that are, to a great extent, are there because of trying to legislate morality. And I believe that this is legislating morality when it goes into the bedroom, and for that reason should be held unconstitutional.
Do you agree that it left the bedroom when the defendant started showing pictures around?
I do not. And that is because that is merely what happened to happen afterwards, some significant time afterwards, and it was not... it was still private when it occurred. It occurred in privacy. The fact that someone kissed and told doesn't mean that it wasn't done in privacy with the expectation of privacy. So those are the unfortunate facts that sometimes come about that cause things to get exposed that were never intended to be exposed.
Thank you very much. We'll reserve the time requested for your rebuttal.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Where to begin? Gene Murphy for the Commonwealth. Clearly, the Lawrence and his progeny dealt only with consenting humans, and in fact, they specifically excluded the bestiality.
Do you agree that this is clearly not an animal cruelty statute? This is a deviant sexual conduct statute.
I think it might be both. I think some courts have talked about the harm to dogs or animals, whatever.
But we have a statute. We have an animal cruelty statute.
But this is linked in the sexual conduct area. So, yeah, the primary intent of this is to discourage this kind of sexual behavior.
In going back to Judge Petty's question of your opponent, in his dissent, and granted it is a dissent, Justice Scalia notes that if you extend the logic, not necessarily the words, but the logic of the majority in Lawrence's decision, it would eradicate the basis for bestiality laws. What is your response?
Well, that just doesn't make any sense to me. We're not talking about we're talking about his logic. I don't see that the logic would require that kind of extension. What we're talking about in Lawrence's simple, due process protection that people can engage in these activities in private when they're consenting and the state cannot interfere. It doesn't seem to me that if the state has an interest that has not yet been protected, if they're trying to outlaw some kind of conduct that has never been given any protection by any court, that we're not going to go in that direction. Here we have something that was clearly private conduct, shouldn't have been punished, has now gained the protection. That's not going to happen to bestiality, and there's no movement in that direction. No court after Lawrence has even approached the idea of vacating a bestiality law because of Lawrence's holdings. It is something that the legislature can outlaw, certainly. And no court has ever said that the state cannot outlaw this conduct.
Well, what would have been your argument before Lawrence on just straight human sodomy?
It would have been the right to privacy argument that overruled the state's power to prohibit.
Except in Bowers, just years before, the court had affirmatively said the state had such a power, didn't it?
Well, of course, Bowers was overruled.
Well, right, but I'm saying before Lawrence, wouldn't you have made the exact same argument about human-to-human sodomy, consenting adults?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that there's a real difference between privacy between humans and privacy between humans and dogs or animals. And I don't see why the state would not be fully entitled to interfere.
Could this be read... as having a public health component? I mean, clearly we're aware of diseases that are transmitted between animals and human beings.
Right. I mean, certainly animals and fowl, for instance. I mean, obviously that would make perfect sense, that there are a lot of diseases now that are transmitted through animals, and it would in fact be that would be a supportive argument if in fact you were looking for a reasonable basis to support the bestiality law rather than trying to determine whether it was controlled by, you know, Lawrence. You might go there and say, well, why should we do this? And there'd be a number of reasons why you might
do it. Do we have to find that rationale somewhere in the history of this statute, or can we just assume that the General Assembly may have had that in mind in enacting it?
The latter, because here we're not addressing the merits or the reasons for the statute. What we're saying is we're determining, is this controlled by Lawrence? That's the argument here, is that because of Lawrence and the privacy protection granted there, that somehow this law would be overturned for the same reason. And I think that you look at, you know, obviously they've excluded children. I mean, certainly you couldn't say, well, there's just as much privacy there. You're entitled to do that.
But children are different because there is an actual harm being done to a child in engaging them in young sexual activity.
Well, they also, our state is still permitted to outlaw sex in public. And not there, the only harm would be offense to the public, which if, in fact, you're not allowed to.
We're dealing with essentially legislative acts. Is it rational for the legislature to believe that sex with an animal may harm the animal in some way?
That would be reasonable, certainly. And I think there's some of the cases that have discussed this have pointed out that one of the reasons that the owners discovered that someone else had been interfering with the dog was, you know, medical problems with the dog. I mean, so there are possible. But I mean, we don't have to go there here.
Well, what is the standard of review that we're applying here? Are we looking at a fundamental right, or are we looking at a rational reason test?
Well, since there is no authority offered that even approaches prohibiting this, all you have to, I mean, the argument is this statute is unconstitutional under Lawrence. There's no argument that it is unconstitutional for any number of other reasons, and we're not there. If, in fact, there was some sort of due process or equal protection claim you could make and it were reasonable or rational, then you would, in fact, have to start dealing with, is there a good reason for the legislature to adopt this improper distinction or this interference with the rights of privacy. But we don't have that here. We have a case which involves only a claim that, because of Lawrence, things are different, not only for consenting humans, but for bestiality.
When we're dealing with fundamental rights, it often depends on what level of abstraction we define the right.
Yes, Your Honor.
If we define it as, do you have a right to have a zone of sexual privacy, Lawrence says the answer to that is yes. If you define the right as, do you have the right to engage in, do you have a right to access a zone of sexual privacy with a child for money? The answer is clearly no. Where's the dog on that continuum?
Well, the dog would be in the same situation. You cannot engage. These people are not being punished for the oral sex between the man and woman. They're being punished only because a dog became involved. And that is, I think, the zone that has been protected does not include bestiality. It includes juveniles, and that's about it. And you cannot do it in public, and you can't do it, I guess, in prisons is another. The zone is defined, and it cannot include children. And it seems to me they never said it could include animals. And that's the problem here, is that they talked only about permitting activity between consenting adults, human adults. Didn't say a thing about bestiality. In fact, said, let's put this aside. We're not dealing with that. We're dealing only what we consider, you know, sodomy involving only humans. And we're going to say that cannot be prohibited if it's done in private. They have never approached the idea of saying, well, this should also apply if there's an animal involved.
Well, the Supreme Court didn't apply the fundamental rights standard, which is a much higher standard that the government must meet in order to prohibit conduct. They used the rational basis, and here the rational basis is open to a number of different possibilities, isn't it?
No. I mean, I think that the possibility, I mean, since most states outlaw it, and that there can be health reasons and just simple disgust by a number of people, that seems to me that would be enough in these circumstances to support it. But as I say, you don't have to get there because there's nothing cited by the defendant that requires you to make that kind of determination. All you have to say is, you know, does Lawrence preclude this? And it does not. And for those reasons, I request that the decision be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Mr. Berger, we'll give you 5 minutes of rebuttal. I stepped on that a little bit.
That's all right. Thank you. Judge Russell, you asked me about the Toggill case. The Toggill case actually has a quote in it that says, as the applied remedy is simple to fashion in this case, given the Lawrence decision. So it is actually a blueprint for what this court can do to section out of this section the privacy interest and the liberty interest that exist for my client in the privacy of his own home.
And I believe the next line is private, non-commercial, and consensual sodomy involving, and here's the key word again, only adults.
It's true.
And I think...
But if you go to the line before that, they talk only about sodomy involving children, forcible sodomy, prostitution, and sodomy in public. They don't mention anything there about bestiality. So,
Mr. Berger, what's your response to the public health question?
Nobody's asked that question.
I did.
I don't believe that there is any evidence about that or that this was enacted for that purpose.
But couldn't it provide a rational basis for the statute to exist?
Well.
Or to be constitutional?
I don't know. If you go back to the AIDS epidemic of homosexuality, you would have used that as a rational basis for outlawing homosexual contact. So, there are those issues that do exist.
But that argument falls flat because AIDS began as a result of cross-relationship between species.
Well, you're beyond my expertise in that, and you may be correct, but
AIDS came originally was a disease of monkeys that migrated into the human species and then spread. So perhaps that rational basis is even stronger, given
well, I don't think that was a basis for our legislature adopting this statute.
But of course, it doesn't matter whether it was or it wasn't. If it could have been, that provides the legislature with the right to act in the zone. But I want to ask you the standard of review question that Judge Petty asked. Justice Kennedy's opinion in Lawrence is grounded in the language of substantive due process, which under Glucksberg would have required a fundamental right bound up in the nation's history and traditions, but then appears to apply more of a rational basis type test. It kind of mixes and matches apples and oranges, causing Justice Scalia at one point essentially to say, you cannot make a coherent whole out of our cases and what you have just done. What is the appropriate standard? Is it the fundamental right standard? Is it a rational basis? What is it?
I think part of the success of our Constitution has been the willingness of our judiciary to adopt our Constitution to the change in times. And I think that strict constructionists such as Scalia create intellectual problems for the changes in our laws that need to come to follow society's needs. And so I think I would take the rational basis for that. I do understand Scalia's strict constructionist views, and there's certainly a part of every lawyer who appreciates stare decisis, and that's strict construction. On the other hand, we are now living with a case that says that there's a right to privacy, there's a right to liberty, and that that exists there in your home, specifically in your sexuality.
But not if it involves a minor, not if it's non-consensual, not if it's commercial.
And I agree with those. That's correct. But we would suggest that the elderly person who stays at home.
Let me finish my question.
Okay.
Then why does if those three things are outside the zone, why isn't an animal?
Someone first said, could the animal be harmed? I certainly think an animal could be harmed. I would suggest that every child is harmed by sexual acts that occur with an adult. And I think that that is, I don't think that that can occur without causing harm.
Well,
I don't think because a dog licked a person's private part that the dog is harmed. And I don't think that anyone would necessarily have any evidence of that.
But we could criminalize prostitution, which by definition is between two consenting adults. Why wouldn't your argument?
Well, I think that there is an argument there that it generally involves women as the prostitute, and that it demeans women, and that they're taken advantage of, and that it is. Harmful to the individual in that conduct. It is also, I think there are many psychological and sociological reasons for outlawing prostitution that do not apply to something private in one's home with one's pet.
Thank you very much for
your
argument, Mr. Berger.
Thank you.
We will greet counsel. Our next case.